Hi, this is Greg with your Oklahoma Men's Clinic. If you struggle when you snuggle, don't delay. Call us today, 405-266-3000. That's 266-3000. Or schedule your free phone consultation on the web at okcmen.com. That's okcmen.com.
Sports with Mark Rogers is brought to you by Bob Moore Auto Group. For over 50 years, Bob Moore has been delivering Oklahoma's biggest and best automotive selection. 10 brands, 15 dealerships, and over 2,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs. Drive Bob Moore today and experience the exception at bobmoore.com.
Mark, I know you got to get a haircut, but we thought it was very important that you know what the best fries were.
Best fries. What do you mean the best fries?
Oh, we were talking about what the best French fries were.
I was listening just a few minutes ago. I mean, you knocked off some Metallica, and then I came in here to do some work. So just, I'll be happy to answer the question.
All right, what's the best fast food fry?
Oh, man. Freddy's is good. Brahms is good. Cane's is good.
Brahms and Cane's.
I would rate those high in the crinkle cut category. And then, I mean, McDonald's, man. I don't even put
McDonald's
ketchup
on it. Is a guy, too. Is Freddy's a crinkle cut?
No, they're okay. Not a crinkle cut, but they are salty and delicious.
Brahms and Raisin Cane's both were on my list. I'm a fan of the crinkle. What can I tell you? Okay, so...
You know what I don't want on my fries?
What?
I don't want a bunch of, like, whatever that's extra on there, like the extra crispy stuff. I mean,
the seasoning stuff and the coating.
Just to be the potato.
Yeah, I don't like it either. Good. Don't like it at all. Okay, so I feel like... I'm watching a train about to hit a car in slow motion, and I'm powerless to do anything about it. I feel like both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, even though they continue to win, are heading for a brick wall, and I don't know what to do about it. I mean, listen, I know people will go, hey, but they're winning. And I get it. They are winning. But I just look at both of those teams and say, at some point, this is going to come to an abrupt halt, and it's not going to be pretty. I mean, convince me otherwise, because I see teams that are very vulnerable when they meet the right competition.
Well, who's the right competition? Is there anybody in the Big 12?
Okay, that's the one saving grace. It may be in the playoff before it happens, but, I mean, imagine Oklahoma playing the way that they're playing and going up against Georgia.
Okay, well, let me stop you on both teams right now. What was wrong with this weekend? I mean, I think that both were pretty good. OSU turned it over three times and won by 10. They had a stifling defensive performance in the first half, and at some point in time, your defense is going to kind of give a little. You know what I'm saying? Oklahoma State's not the 85 Bears, but they're the best that they've been in a long time. So I thought, you know, they did a pretty good job of containing Baylor, gave up two scores in the game, and did enough to win. Now, three turnovers for the quarterback. Again, what did I say this week? Played his best game at Oklahoma State the week before against Kansas State, and here he goes again. Turnovers. One of them wasn't necessarily his fault, but that's got to be really frustrating for them.
Here's what I didn't understand, and then we'll get to OU. Here's what I didn't understand, sure. And maybe you can explain it to me. I thought the defense was playing so good that I was a little surprised that they went for it on fourth down and scored that touchdown. I thought they would have kicked the field goal, get the points. I realize it puts you in a situation where a touchdown and an extra point wins the game for Baylor, but I thought the defense was playing so well. It felt to me like it was a question of whether the defense could hold, and I thought the defense really sort of carried the team on Saturday.
Well, I like the move because it ends the game.
It did
end the game. And if you don't get it, they still have to go kick a field goal, and they probably can tie you. If something crazy happens and you kick the field goal and they get a touchdown, you've lost. I mean, so I think you got one opportunity to get 1 yard to win the game, and I thought that they...
From a fan's perspective, that's what you want to see. It just surprises me. Most coaches are not in that situation going to do that. They're going to play more conservative. And in that instance, it might have gotten them in trouble. I think it was the right move in retrospect, but it was a little surprising to me that was what Gundy went with.
Well, how about Kansas State on Saturday?
Yeah.
I mean, they felt so comfortable against the OU defense. They went for it on 4th and 12 in their own territory. I mean, at a point in the game where I don't think it would have hurt them to punt. Now, the other side of that is OU didn't punt all day, and I don't really think they came very close to punting. They did convert a couple of third and longs, but I thought OU was drastically improved.
They were drastically better.
They didn't punt all day. Kansas State they're no slouch. They're not a terrible defense.
Well, but I think some of that not punting is that the questioning of the special teams too. I mean, yeah, Lincoln Riley was being more aggressive, but I don't know. In some instances, I think that when your special teams play is not what you want it to be or what it needs to be, sometimes maybe it's better not. Like, you see a team that doesn't have a great punter, and sometimes they'll go for it just because they don't trust that the punter's going to really help them out.
His punter's not a problem. He's pretty good.
No. That's not what I'm saying. But
he's done a good job this year.
I think that their special teams play has been suspect this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, they gave up a kick return in that game, but they were also kicking from the 20 because somebody got a terrible penalty on the field goal. And you know, they only threw three incomplete passes in the game on Saturday, so I thought the offensive line was slightly better.
Rattler made better decisions. I think they're pushing him to use his feet to get out of trouble more than he had been, which is beneficial.
100%.
I don't know that that's his strong suit, but he's doing it. And listen, the most immobile quarterback that you can think of, the Dan Marinos, or just think about great quarterbacks that are not mobile quarterbacks. Sometimes they got to run. They've got to get themselves out of trouble by running. And Rattler has shown it may not be a strong suit, but he's capable of doing it, and it's capable of helping the team at times.
Well, yeah, I think he has to run to show the defense that he can.
Yeah.
And he's athletic, so I thought that was – listen, I mean, they improved quite a bit, from last week to this week. And I think this next game, I think that Texas is – fairly similar to Kansas State on offense, probably a little bit better, definitely better at running back, and K-State has a pretty good one. But this will be the best running back OU's gone against in quite a while, in Bijan Robinson from Texas. Texas defense, I think, looked a little better this week against TCU than probably it looks like. They had an 85-yard kickoff return against them. So it should be a challenge. The way that the line has been set in this game, Oklahoma's -3.5, and kind of the steam is moving it more towards Texas. So this isn't going to be – this is an old-fashioned white knuckler. Should be a great game.
Yeah. Yeah, if we can get through this game, but then you still got to play Baylor. You still got to play Iowa State. And then you still got to play Oklahoma State. So I just worry about this team. And Oklahoma State, too. I mean, they continue to beat teams. It might be ugly, but they're beating teams that should be able to challenge them. And so I realize that I'm somewhat out of line with that. I just have a bad feeling.
Well, let me give you reasons for both of these teams, too, to be optimistic. I think OU they've been caught kind of in a way of arrogance, where they've gone along and been really good, and then they've had these massive upsets where they've been 28-point favorites. And I think there's something to the fact of building toughness when you win close games, because
the countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
I hope so.
I think you prepare a little bit more every week. And I think that's really apparent to me with Oklahoma State. I think the first couple of weeks, I don't think they really knew what they were doing. And they found an identity running the ball. And Jaylen Warren, they gave it to him 36 times on Saturday night. So I think they're figuring out they've got an off week, and then they go to Texas. So both Oklahoma schools are getting Texas the next couple of weeks. But I think... I think there's about 14 or 15 undefeated teams in the country. Far superior to looking great and losing one that you shouldn't. So I think
I know I agree with that. So give me this in order. Give me the top three teams in college football right now.
Georgia number one, Alabama number two, and I mean Penn State and Iowa are both pretty good playing this week. I'd probably go with Penn State.
But you got Georgia ranked ahead of Alabama, right?
I do.
I don't see how you can't. I mean, they just continue to dominate. Arkansas, maybe Arkansas was a little overrated, but they had won some big games and played well doing it. I mean, they beat Texas. That wasn't even close. A&M, they handled pretty well. So I think that for Georgia to come in and blow them off the field the way that they did, I still think that they're better than Alabama. That third, that's the reason I put three in there. I wanted to see who you would have at third. Very few things bring me as much joy as seeing Notre Dame go down. I don't know if Cincinnati's as good as they appear, But I think Cincinnati's a top five team. And you know, I don't know how you could say they're better than Iowa, better than Penn State, better than a couple of other teams. But, man, I don't know. Oregon was ranked third, and I don't think Oregon was that great, and they wound up dropping one over the weekend.
Yeah, they have a problem throwing the football. They're not necessarily a complete team, and then they couldn't really stop Stanford from keeping possession. Cincinnati was favored against Notre Dame. That's not something you normally see just based on the name and the perception of the public. And if you look at Notre Dame this week, they're a small favorite at Virginia Tech. And I think, to me, I'm not trying to rip Cincinnati, and I know those people are probably sensitive to not get enough credit. And if they keep winning, they'll have a good shot to get in the playoff this year because of all the other things going on.
Right.
Notre Dame, they're not that good. They're okay. They're all right.
What was your takeaway from the big matchup last night? It could never have lived up to the hype, but boy, it came close.
I tweeted out yesterday. I said the great thing about sports, man, is you don't have to, you know, inflate the narrative of things like that. Usually you come up with a great game. That's what we had last night. You got to doink off the cross or the upright at the end of the game, or Brady loses. But, oh, dude, the Adele almost sent me to the stratosphere. I'm like almost spontaneously combusted. I uttered to myself something that I can't say on the radio about. Just that's. That was so much drama.
It was
and
too much.
I tried
much.
To avoid all of it, but the game was good. So
the game, and that was my point, is the game almost lived up to the hype. I mean, it was a good game. But at the end of the day, this is what I was saying on Friday. At the end of the day, what does it prove? You got an AFC team playing an NFC team. You got Brady going back to New England, but it's Brady versus Belichick. So what does it really prove, whichever side wins? I mean, it's interesting. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see the fans' reaction to Brady coming back, because last year, I don't remember if they played last year, and if they did, it was in Tampa. I wanted to see that element of it, but it was, come on, we didn't need the hype that they gave that game. But all that said, it almost lived up to the hype. It was a really exciting game.
I don't know. Maybe there's something going on in table tennis or something like that, but the NFL is by far the most competitive league in the world.
Yeah, it's
the
shocking,
Jets win yesterday. They've been awful. And, you know, even Premier League soccer and things like that, you've got dominant teams. Major League Baseball, you know, Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, all of the playoffs, all this stuff. NBA is basically players can decide where they want to win a championship and form a super team. None of that applies in the NFL. Every week, you can't, you know, rest on your laurels. You got to go out and play. That's why the NFL is on top of sports.
The Rams were undefeated. The Rams were undefeated, and everybody was like, boy, this is going to be the matchup. The Rams and the Cardinals, two undefeated teams in L.A., yada, yada, yada. Arizona make them look like chumps.
Kyler Murray did. I think Arizona, they got to keep him healthy because they don't really have any kind of running game other than him, and he's so difficult to defend when he runs the ball. And he got hurt last year about middle of the season, and then Arizona just went in the tank. So
right.
That's... He's a small guy. They got to keep him healthy.
Boy, he
they
looked good yesterday, though. I mean, he was giving them all they wanted yesterday.
He was that good last year in the beginning of the season. So, I mean, it's just, I think throughout his entire career, you're going to have to be, it's not like Brady, you know what I'm saying? You protect him,
and
he took off, you know, a couple times last night, and he has no speed. So it's much easier to protect a guy like that than it is to protect a quarterback that's going to be taken off and running through
sure.
the middle of the field.
Yeah. All right, man, I know you got to go get your hair cut. I appreciate
it. I'm good. I could talk to you a little bit more.
Well, I did want to ask you, because the NBA preseason is starting, I wanted to ask you what your take of what's going to happen with the Ben Simmons situation. He's not reported. He's not been part of any activities with the 76ers. There's been talk that he's going to be traded, but that's been going on since the playoffs of last summer. Nobody wants to pay the freight of what Philadelphia wants to get in return for him. What is your take on what's going to happen there, and how is that going to impact not necessarily the team that Simmons goes to, but Philadelphia in the near term?
That's okay. So there's three options I think that can happen here. One, he can decide to sit out and then just not get paid. Two, he could really, really try to make amends with the team and come back and say, hey, look, I want to play, and we'll figure it out. I'll do something here. Or third, the 76ers could find a way to make a trade to some team where he might want to go. And I think it's the closer you get towards the regular season, the closer we get to some kind of resolution, one way or the other. But, man, I'll tell you what, that's you want to turn down the type of money he's making just not to play. That's pretty amazing.
And he has no recourse in terms of making them pay him, right? If he's not performing, they don't have to pay him, even if it's guaranteed. Yeah. It's such a, what a disaster. And I think that it puts, like I said, I think it puts Philly, I mean, he's not getting paid, but it puts Philly in a worse situation than anybody because they got a guy that's on the books that's just not showing up and playing, and they don't know what to do, and they can't get a trade done. I mean, at some point they're going to have to lower the asking price, but I just don't think there's any way he's ever going to play. He's not happy with Doc Rivers. He's not happy with the organization. His teammates aren't happy with him. It's just a bad deal all the way around.
So don't you, I mean, if you're going to be the arbitrator here, you got to say Ben Simmons is in the wrong here. I get Doc Rivers after the game, after where Simmons played so poorly, said something, and then now he's trying to go back and say, well, I didn't mean it that way. Well, yeah, you did. But anyway, Ben Simmons should be able to get over that and move on because it was his poor play that cost him winning the series.
Exactly right.
He should recognize that.
I absolutely concur with exactly what you just said. I don't know. I don't see how he stays there.
I mean, it's okay. If somebody's going to say it, I mean, that shouldn't offend you that much. You just get better.
Yeah. I don't know how he's going to stay there, but I don't know which team is going to be the first one to blink. I think it's got to be Philly. They got to lower the asking price at some point. All right, man. We'll talk on Friday. Maybe we'll know a little bit more. We'll see as the preseason gets started. I mean, it's not like they're going to be reliant on having him for 30 minutes a night right now, but something's going to have to give relatively soon because the regular season starts in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, and if Simmons is going to decide to go back to that team, he's going to have a lot of making up to do.
Exactly.
I think the longer he stays out, the more pissed off people are getting.
For sure. All right, man. Have a great week, and we'll talk on Friday.
All right. See you, Brad.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.